Public Radio KMXT is supported by a grant from North Pacific Fuel, serving and continuing the tradition of excellent service to the community at three locations: Marine Dock at 715 Shelikoff Street, Gas and Go at the Y, and Gas and Go at Mill Bay.
It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station up here on Signal Hill in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where we have fair skies, 37 degrees. Out at the airport, they are showing 59% humidity, southerly winds to 5 miles per hour, and 10 miles of visibility. Coming up on the Midday Report, the east side has closed for Kodiak's Tanner Crab season as the season winds down. And the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly has voted to create a Health Facilities Advisory Board. And the small community of Ninilchik is looking into a land trust. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The death toll from a 7.8 earthquake and powerful aftershocks in southeastern Turkey and northern Syria has surpassed 3,400. That number is expected to climb. Thousands more people are injured and many remain unaccounted for. Rescuers are fighting against the bitter cold and time in their search for possible survivors trapped beneath any of the hundreds of residential buildings that have collapsed. NPR's Windsor Johnson reports the White House says it is working closely with Turkey and Syria to coordinate response efforts.
The White House says President Biden has authorized an immediate response to address the needs of those injured and displaced by the earthquake. The administration says in addition to personnel already on the ground, it's in the process of deploying two 79-person teams to support search and rescue efforts. The president is also directing USAID and other federal partners to assess response options in the days and weeks ahead.
NPR's Windsor Johnston reporting. An Israeli search and rescue team is departing for Turkey to help with quake rescue efforts. Israel is also sending aid to earthquake victims in Syria. NPR's Daniel Estrin reports from Tel Aviv on Israel's unique relations in the region that led to these aid efforts.
The Israeli military says it's sending 150 soldiers plus firefighters and rescue teams to Turkey to map out sites hit by the earthquake and conduct search and rescue missions. Israel's army is trained to respond to emergency war situations and frequently sends rescue teams around the world following natural disasters. And Israel's ties with Turkey have been improving after a decade of rocky relations with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who's advocated for the Palestinians. Israel and Syria are in a state of war, but an Israeli official says Israel is sending Syria medicine, blankets, and tents for earthquake victims there. Israeli media say that was following a request from Russia, which plays a key role in Syria. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
U.S. officials say the suspected Chinese spy balloon flying across the U.S. last week did nothing to improve tense U.S.-Chinese relationships. NPR Scott Detcher reports the administration says recovery efforts continue off the South Carolina coast to recover the balloon and learn more about it.
Kirby says U.S. intelligence learned a lot from last week's balloon affair.
We're still analyzing the information that we were able to collect off of the balloon before we shot it out of the sky, and now we're going to recover it, and I suspect we may learn even more.
Kirby did not provide new details about administration claims that Chinese balloons had violated U.S. airspace during the Trump administration, other than to say the incursions were more brief than last week's transcontinental balloon journey. He said the Biden administration has reached out to key officials from the Trump White House to offer briefings. Scott Detrow, NPR News, the White House.
It's NPR. Generation Z voters showed up in relatively large numbers for Democrats in the last midterms. Now a new report adds more context to America's youngest voting bloc. Here's NPR's Elena Moore.
Despite their electoral power, Gen Z voters are still just getting their feet wet in politics. The oldest turned 26 this year. And according to a new report from the education advocacy organization Murmuration, the Walton Family Foundation, and the public opinion firm Social Sphere, a third of Gen Z voters actually wanted more political information when they voted. That's compared to 20% of millennials, about 1 in 10 Gen Xers, and only 6% of baby boomers. So, with the midterms over, both Democrats and Republicans are now racing to gain more Gen Z support. Because so far, according to the data, the age group isn't firmly attached to a party. Elena Moore, NPR News, Washington.
Many music fans are doing a deep dive of post-Grammys reviews. The big news of the night, of course, was Beyoncé making history when she picked up 4 Grammys Sunday to boast an unprecedented 32 Grammys. But she lost again in the coveted Album of the Year category, this time to Harry Styles. Another historic moment was Shireen Hajipour's Barya became the first award winner for a new category at the Grammy Awards, Best Song for Social Change. The song came out amid protests after a young woman was arrested in Iran for allegedly wearing her hijab improperly and died while in the custody of Iran's so-called morality police. The Dow closes down 34 points. You're listening to NPR News.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Cardiac Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Kodiak's Tanner crab season is nearly wrapped up. The east side of Kodiak's Tanner fishery closed at 2 p.m. yesterday afternoon, according to the Alaska's Department of Fish and Game. The east side has the highest harvest levels in the fishery at 4 million pounds of tanners. This year's entire quota for the Kodiak fishery is 5.8 million pounds of tanner crabs. 99 vessels have been fishing on the east side of the island since fishermen set their gear last Monday. The southeast and southwest areas of the fishery are still open, but they're also nearing Fish and Game's harvest levels. Only 16% of this year's quota was left in the fishery's southeast area as of yesterday, and about one-third of this year's quota was still left in the southwest area. Chignik's tanner crab fishery is still open, but South Peninsula's tanner crab season also closed over a week ago. The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly voted at its regular meeting on Thursday night to establish a Health Facilities Advisory Board. The new committee will oversee maintenance and construction plans for the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center and is a step toward renovating the island's aging infrastructure. Conversation about forming the committee began in a work session in late December to address the hospital's infrastructure needs. Some areas of the hospital were built around 60 years ago and are in need of renovations. The board will meet with hospital staff, and the advisory board can only make recommendations to the assembly and administration instead of enacting policies. The advisory board will have 3 members, assembly members Jared Griffin, Scott Arndt, and Jeffrey Smith. They plan to meet with an architect to assess current conditions of the hospital next week. A bus station in Ninilchik, a small community halfway between Soldotna and Homer, has the potential to become a small native reservation, but the state of Alaska is pushing back. As KDLL's Riley Board reports, a lawsuit is playing out in Juneau that could impact the Ninilchik tribe's bid for sovereignty and protection of its services.
More than 6 years ago, the Ninilchik Traditional Council applied to place a 2.5-acre, 2-building bus depot into trust with the federal government. They're still waiting on a final decision, but if the application goes through, it would essentially create a reservation in Ninilchik. The tribe would have jurisdiction over the land, which would likely be exempt from local taxation. It would also open the tribe up to certain federal money and programs. Daryl Williams, the resource and environmental director for the tribe, says it would protect the future of the bus service the tribe runs from that property.
We thought it was important to have the service in the first place. You know, we've been running it for quite a while now, and we see it growing, you know, in the future, not necessarily getting smaller. So having it locked into something that can continually be able to do this is a good thing. That's a good thing.
But the state of Alaska has filed a lawsuit against the Secretary of the Interior, arguing the land into trust process as a whole undermines the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act by creating reservations. The lawsuit was filed last month after the Interior Department approved putting an 800-square-foot vacant lot into trust in Juneau. The lawsuit argues that the trust affects the state's ability to tax, enforce public safety, and engage in resource management. The lawsuit also says the state is aware of the Nanilchik application and that it, quote, further jeopardizes the state of Alaska's sovereign authority. The Nanilchik property in question is the hub for a bus system run by the tribe called the Basic Unified Multipath Service, or BUMPS. BUMPS first opened in 2018 and provides transportation for people who can't drive, not just tribal members, but anyone on the peninsula. It runs 3 days a week between Homer and the Kenai-Soldotna area. Years ago, the tribe recognized a gap in transportation services in the borough and stepped in to solve the problem. Williams says the application to put the transit building into trust is designed to protect that service for the foreseeable future.
We figured that there are enough people who are disadvantaged for one reason or another. They might be sick, they might have gotten in trouble. Whatever the case is, they probably shouldn't be driving. That is a benefit to everybody.
Williams says some of the tribe's other services, like the health clinics they run, are tied up with outside organizations, like the Indian Health Service. But BUMPS is run entirely by the tribe, and seemed like an appropriate service to protect when the tribe learned of the federal trust process. Land into trust has been possible in Alaska since 2014, when the Obama administration revised a restriction that had existed for more than 30 years. Under Donald Trump, that revision was withdrawn, but the Interior Department reopened the process again in late 2022. The department agreed to take the Juneau tribal land into trust last month. Williams thinks the state's lawsuit will take years to sort out, but ultimately, he doesn't think they'll prevail.
When a state can just file a suit and stop a federal process, that's a different problem.
When it comes to the state's motivation for protesting the land into trust process, Williams thinks it comes down to the state not wanting to share their roles in providing services or managing resources.
You know, one of the things that's always bothered me, too, is that when the state takes opposition to things like this, this brings in more money, more jobs, more revenue, more economy to the entire state. And why would they be against that?
The lawsuit also cites pending applications from the Native Village of Fort Yukon and the Central Council of the Tlingit and...
Pardon me for that. It was a fast and furious finale for Team Alaska at the Arctic Winter Games in Wood Buffalo, Alberta. Over the course of 7 days, Alaska athletes amassed 145 medals, 58 gold, 44 silver, and 43 bronze, all in the shape of the iconic curved knife of the North, the Ulu. Alaska was second in the overall standings, but behind the Yukon Territories, which finished with 169 medals. Two 18-year-old Alaskan natives were in a tie for racking up the most gold medals for Team Alaska. Colton James Paul from Kipnuk and Parker Benjamin Kinnick of Nome each won 5 medals. Both competed in Arctic Sports, a competition that features native games traditionally used to sharpen survival skills. Kinnick says this was his first Arctic Winter Games, so he didn't expect to do very well, but says the high level of international competition plus encouragement from his competitors inspired him to do his best.
With old friends, new friends, an audience, it'll lift you up, and you'll typically break your own records and surprise yourself, put on a show for everybody, have fun all around. It's nice to watch everybody do their best and break their own records.
Closing ceremonies were on Saturday. The Arctic Winter Games will take place in Wasilla, Alaska next year. Normally, the games take place every other year, but were held this year after being postponed due to the pandemic. Tuksuk Bay, a remote town on Nelson Island off the coast of western Alaska, where they speak Yupik, hunt and fish, and drive boats and snow machines. As KNBA's Jill Frattis found out, it's also home to a couple that's become a bit of a social media sensation.
Noah and Christy Lincoln have been married for almost 20 years and have 6 children and a brand new granddaughter. The viral duo make reenactments of famous movies and TV shows with a twist of native humor. They have over 40,000 followers on Facebook and 20,000 on TikTok. And it all started, they say, while out hunting for geese with their son.
We had our son just take the camera and start recording.
Noah had Christy do different types of bird calls, from raven calls, goose calls, and even a sexy swan.
Be a sexy swan.
They posted the video to their Facebook page, where it was shared and reshared hundreds of times. It was at that moment Noah and Christy knew they were onto something big.
And I thought, man, we could get so many people to laugh with just me and my wife.
After the release of the show Reservation Dogs on Hulu, native humor has been trending on social media. But Alaska humor is a little different. It usually draws from subsistence hunting, fishing, and guns, like this video.
16 years I've been married, and my wife said she don't love me anymore.
All I said is you're not getting a new gun.
It's the same thing.
It's not.
One of Christy's videos even created a catchphrase used by people from all over.
Gee whiz.
Oh, baby, I slipped and hurt my back.
Gee whiz.
I didn't know it was raining out that much.
Gee whiz.
Oh, my butt is hurting.
Gee whiz.
While Christy enjoys acting in the videos with her husband, she says it's Noah who comes up with the ideas.
It just comes out of the blue.
But life wasn't always full of laughter for Noah. Early in his life, he says he struggled with addiction.
I was heavily into alcohol and I couldn't keep a job.
After realizing what his drinking was doing to his family, Noah swore off alcohol for good. And when asked if he is sober now, he is always happy to respond.
I'm so happy to say yes. We're always thanking God for everything.
Noah says he's also happy that their videos have brought so much joy to people, even people who are struggling.
There's this lady who lost her daughter. She was grieving for so long, and she came across our videos, and she found herself laughing and laughing and laughing, like she forgot that she was grieving.
The impact this had makes him tear up.
But the videos we made gave her hope and healing, and that really... that opened my eyes and my heart. Social media is really strong, and I believe laughter is medicine.
One of Noah and Christy's followers is Anthony Lacana from St. George Island. He says Noah and Christy have paved the way for other Indigenous storytellers.
If you look among the Indigenous creators and comedians, you know, we don't have a whole lot. And so the amount of work that they put into creating what they do now is an inspiration to up-and-coming individuals who might want to pursue a path, whether it's in comedy, acting. And so it really enriches the Indigenous spirit that we have within Alaska based upon how relatable Noah and Christy are. Some of their videos that I've been able to see, I have found to be relatable within my own upbringing in the Pribilof Islands.
Although most people go to Noah and Christy's Facebook page for a good laugh, they also make it a point to sprinkle in inspirational messages of hope that go on to say that at the end of the day, family and faith are everything.
Praise God. I thank God for everything. Everything happens for a reason, for His purpose. Thank you, Lord.
With all of the fame and notoriety that comes with their popular skits, Noah and Christy Lincoln are proud to say they remain humble and happy in Tuksuk Bay, surrounded by family and the wilderness. In Anchorage, I am Jill Freitas.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
We know air travel rebounded last year, but how much exactly? I'm Nova Safa with a Marketplace Minute. The International Air Transport Association, an industry trade group, says global air traffic increased 64% last year, but still lags pre-pandemic levels. In the U.S., domestic air traffic rose to nearly 80% of its pre-pandemic total. Florida's legislature is set to decide the fate of Disney's self-governance district. Lawmakers want to dissolve it to punish Disney for criticizing what opponents call the Don't Say Gay law. Officials are looking for ways to avoid having to take on Disney's municipal debt. Public Storage has made an $11 billion hostile takeover bid for rival Life Storage. The combination would create a new self-storage giant. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, a leader in commercial real estate.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday. It is the sixth day of February, the year 2023. Sun rose today at 9:01. It will set again at 5:46. That will give us 8 hours and 46 minutes of daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 36 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 49 degrees. That was set in 1957. And our record low was 0, set in 1943 and 1999. Currently 37 degrees under fair skies. It's a nice day in Kodiak. Out at the airport, they are showing 59% humidity, southerly winds at 5 miles per hour, and 10 miles of visibility. Look for mostly sunny skies for the rest of the day, according to the Weather Service. High near 37, so we've hit that. Southwest winds around 15, gusting to 30. For tonight, a 20% chance of snow showers before 9 p.m., then mostly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 24, south winds to 15, turning to the west after midnight. They are calling for partly sunny skies tomorrow with a high near 32 and west winds to 25, and sunny skies for Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the upper 20s. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up. That will happen at 2:10 this afternoon here on the east side and be 9.2 feet. That'll be followed by a low tide at 8:48 p.m. of minus 7/10 of a foot. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 2:43 this afternoon and be 14.4 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 9:22 p.m. of minus 1.2 feet. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side. Small craft advisory through tomorrow. Southwest 30 today and seas to 15 feet offshore. For tonight, southwest 25 and seas to 12 feet. And for tomorrow, west 30, seas to 13 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory for today and Tuesday. For today, southwest 30, seas to 8 feet in the Shelikof. Southwest 20 tonight, seas coming down to 6 feet. But west 30 tomorrow, seas to 9 feet. And freezing spray is expected in the Shelikof tomorrow. The Kodiak City Council will be holding a work session tomorrow. That's happening at 7:30 p.m. And on Thursday, they'll be having their regular council meeting, also at 7:30 p.m., both meetings will be held in the Kodiak Public Library and are open to the public. The public is also encouraged to tune in right here at KMXT on 100.1 FM to hear the meeting, and the meetings will be web-streamed and the web streaming links and meeting packets are available at the City of Kodiak website. If you need more information, contact the city clerk at 486-8636. And notice is hereby given. There will be a Board of Education work session on Wednesday. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. in the District Services Conference Room, which is F-140 of the old high school wing. The meeting will also be streamed through BlueJeans, and meeting login information is posted on the Kodiak Island Borough School District's website. Look under the Board of Education tab. For more information, contact the Secretary to the Board of Education. That phone number is 907-486-7566. And remember, agendas are subject to change. Therefore, the only official agenda is the one found online. There are quite a few meetings coming up in the Kodiak Island Borough for the public to attend if they choose. Coming up tonight at 5:30 p.m., the Women's Bay Service Area Board will be having their regular meeting at the Women's Bay Fire Hall. Again, that's at 5:30 p.m. Tomorrow, the Fire Protection Area Number 1 Service Area Board will be having their special meeting. Oh, wait, I've got that wrong. Tuesday, the Women's Bay Service Area Board is having their regular meeting in the Women's Bay Fire Hall at 5:30. On Wednesday, the Fire Protection Area Number 1 Service Area Board will be having their special meeting in the Bayside Fire Station. That's happening at 12 p.m. on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. On Thursday, the Health Facilities Advisory Board will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Conference Room. That's happening at 3 p.m. on Thursday. Also on Thursday, the Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers. That will be happening at 6:30 p.m. And on Monday, the Consolidation Committee will be having its regular meeting in the Borough Conference Room at 6:30 p.m. Next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, the Women's Bay Service Area Board will be having a budget public hearing in the Women's Bay Fire Hall at 5:30 p.m. Events coming up at the Kodiak Public Library include Wednesday's Famous Lego Club. That happens at 3:30 p.m. at the library. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. And on Thursdays at 10:30 a.m., the library hosts its Lap Sit Story Time. It's for babies 0 to 3 and their adults. Join volunteer Abby Hanna to share a story and a song with some quality time to play and socialize. The library's monthly tabletop role-playing games group is meeting on Friday. That's happening at 3:45 p.m. Ages 10 and older are welcome. Those under 18 must be with a guardian who is also playing. Players are able to participate at the discretion of the volunteering game master. Sign up by calling or stopping by the library. And on Saturday, from 1 to 4 p.m., the library will be holding an afternoon craft for Valentine's Day. Learn how to make a pop-up Valentine card to send to your favorite author or loved one. Sign-ups are requested. It's for 12 and older. Supplies are provided by the library. Again, that's Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., but they'd like you to sign up, and you can do that by calling the library at 907-486-8686. The second annual Mariculture Conference of Alaska is happening. Alaska Sea Grant will host the second annual Mariculture Conference in Juneau, February 15th through 17th. Registration is now open for anyone interested in mariculture in Alaska. This event will be where farmers, researchers, and professionals in mariculture-related industries and agencies are meeting to present and discuss mariculture innovations, science, and activities in Alaska. This year's conference focuses on industry innovations and challenges. Researchers will provide updates on mariculture research, trainers will discuss workforce development opportunities, and the mariculture nonprofit Green Wave will host a bull kelp workshop. For more information and to register, visit the conference website. You can find that at the Alaska Sea Grant website, which is at alaskaseagrant.org. And it's time again for the 2023 Kodiak Outdoor Film Festival. Island Trails Network is collecting submissions for their 13th annual Kodiak Outdoor Film Festival, which will be held Friday, April 7th. The deadline to submit your entries is March 31st, so get out there and start filming your adventures. Visit islandtrails.org/film for guidelines.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.